Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Someone sitting across from me is a Manchester United fan, so that's good. How are you, Andy Martin?
How are you?
I interview Liverpool fans, I interview Arsenal fans, I interview Chelsea fans. I don't interview City fans because there aren't any of them. But yeah, listen, it's good every now and again when a Manchester United fan walks in the door.
Yeah, I know people can't see Dave, but he's like decked out on all the Man U merch.
Top to toe. as always. Especially after a victory like that last night, which I was sneaking looks at while I was at Foo Fighters in the Academy, this exclusive gig, and I was like, just give me a phone and see. Oh, Šeško, 76 minutes. Yes.
That's dedication.
I tell you, I'm dedicated to that cause. God knows, it hasn't given me much back in the last little while, or you for that matter. Come here. We're doing a thing on the station at the moment called the 100 Greatest Ever Irish Songs. Now, you were coming in today.
Yeah.
And I love the woman you're named after, Enya, right? So, Enya Martin. First of all, is it true? Are you genuinely named after the singer Enya?
I never heard her played once in the gaff, like, so I'm just glad I was never named after Meatloaf or something like that, do you know what I mean? Meatloaf Martin, coming to Vicar Street.
Tell you, your marketing will be taken care of. Right, so it's not like there's a huge family connection. It's just a great name.
Yeah, I think it was just happened to be playing on the hospital radio when they were looking for a name. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Right, as simple as that. Well, I played her this morning, Caribbean Blue. What a song. Do you have a favourite song? And do you even listen to Enya? Is it just like on if you hear it kind of thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't be actively going anyway, which that doesn't mean she's not a great artist.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. What about your favourites? Like, would you give me a top three?
Yeah, well, the Pogue song you just played there would be
Rainy Night in Soho. Yeah.
Pair it, that's going to be my wedding song, Rainy Night in Soho.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just have to wait another 17 years by the looks of it. But, and Pair of Brown Eyes. But I was only recently listening to a Spotify playlist for Irish hits.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Linger by the Cranberries is definitely up there in the top three. Yeah.
The Cranberries have to do so well in this poll. Like, they've got, like, you've got Linger, you've got Zombie, you've got Dreams. Like, they have to be in the top 10 or the top 20 anyway.
Yeah, I think people, you know, internationally would even agree whether they like Irish songs or not. Tin Lizzy, Boys Are Back in Town. And then I think Phil Lynott does Dancing in the Moonlight.
It was Phil Lynott, yeah. And actually last night at the gig, the Foo Fighters gig, they did a little bit of Jailbreak.
Oh, no
just
way.
For the crack. Like, no, I'll play it for you here now, right? Because it wasn't like, they definitely weren't going to do like a cover of it, you know what I mean? But they put it into one bit of their songs. Have a listen here, right? What I love about this was there was a lot of, like, you know, people from different parts of the world at this show. Obviously, mostly Irish, but there was, like, you know, couples of, like, and then maybe the guy was Irish and the girl was somewhere else, whatever. But you hear in that little thing, you hear someone going, "That's Thin Lizzy. They're an Irish band." He's obviously explaining who Thin Lizzy
is. If he's going to hear them, like,
yeah. And it was brilliant. Okay, so Thin Lizzy. I mean, look, your choices are immaculate. I'll be honest with you.
I grew up listening to Irish music, and obviously, you know, goes without saying, like the Dubliners, the Wolftones, and stuff like that. But I think on an international level. Those are especially back from the 90s, early noughties, you know.
And I have to say, like, of the modern artists, like, you do hear, like, I was in the States not last year, the year before, I think, or the year before that maybe, and everywhere, like shopping malls, like restaurants, whatever, Dermot Kennedy was just blasting everywhere. Like, he's massive. And we maybe don't give some of these artists the credit. I mean, we all think, oh yeah, U2 and the Cranberries and Enya, whatever. But like, no, like, there's Irish artists being played like all the time. Fontaines are everywhere. Like.
Yeah, they're amazing. And you know what? It's a great, I suppose, testament to them when, I know you don't hear the Irish accent when they're singing, but you would never know, like, DC Fontaines or Jamie Kennedy. You'd never know they were Irish.
Well,
maybe
Fontaines agree in a little bit.
Really? Do you reckon?
So?
DC stands for Dublin City, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, Americans
wouldn't
know that, so.
No, that's true. Enya Martin, she's a comedian. She's got a show called Acting the Divil.
Acting the Divil.
I'd say that's what your ma said to you a lot as a kid.
Well, that's what a lot of my show is based on.
Right.
Being a kid and the things I observed.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. So you're going back there for this one.
Yeah, and then there's also a touch of how much my life has changed since I've been a kid, you know.
Well, can we just say one thing, right? Because was it last Tuesday was 10 years since you first grabbed a microphone?
Yeah, it was in Whelan's in the big room, and I was just going back to headline. It was a show called Funny Women. But 10 years ago in 2016, I was roped into it by Dwayne Duggan, actually. He's like, come on, do 5 minutes. You know, the audience are aware. It's a beginner slot. Cherry Comedy, he runs in Whelan's.
That's right.
And yeah, I remember standing side stage. Dave McSavage was actually the headline that night. And I just remember feeling like a sense of calm and being like, this actually feels like I'm supposed to be doing this, you know?
Because hang on, you realise you're describing, I think, what would be most people's biggest fear in life is to speak publicly, but speak publicly and people expect you to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, but you felt a sense of calm before you went on stage.
Well, you know,
you've never done it before.
Well, standing on stage and speaking in front of the people never bothered me. Like, right. I loved, like, you know, drama in school and, like, whatever, you know, standing on stage, that never bothered me. But, and speaking, you know, I had a script, Happy Days, but trying to make people laugh, now that's where you kind of start to feel, I hope I get validation with these jokes.
You need to write stuff.
Yeah, and it was rusty. I was only doing videos at that stage.
Okay.
So trying to, like, write material for stand-up and a video are two completely different things, you know?
Yeah. And then you had to balance both of those things because your career through the comedy sketches, I guess the internet stuff, that was giving you a platform. But then people went along and went, okay, well, you better be funny now. But you have to write a completely different set of things for that.
The thing is, you're like, yeah, I wrote punchlines for both, obviously. But when you're on stage, you're waiting to hear a laugh. When you're just posting a video, you don't have to do that.
No.
So it can be the longest 5 seconds of your life. And it's a huge risk when you drop that bomb and you're like, will it, you know, will you hear a pin drop or will people actually laugh?
Yeah.
It's a huge gamble.
Yeah,
but
totally.
We do have that sixth sense, I think, to know, like.
You do. Comedians do. I don't know about the rest of us. And then when COVID happened, and obviously, because that would have been, if that was 10 years, it was 2016. So like 4 years into your career as you're making your way up, COVID hits and stops all live stuff. But then because you had the comedy video kind of toolkit, you were able to grow at a time when most comedians were struggling.
Yeah, so the Giz a Laugh page was running from like 2014. And when I started doing stand-up and shows, I was kind of putting all my eggs into that basket and the page got neglected a bit. It was hard to balance
to
balance both and come up with material for both. So it kind of went on the back burner. But then when we went into lockdown, I was like, right, well, there's nothing else I can do here but make content. And I actually gained a lot of followers. People still come up to me and say, oh, I started following you during lockdown.
So that was the period that they just got to know you. And because we were also hungry for content.
Yeah, it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, I thought my world was falling apart when I heard I couldn't perform anymore. I was like, how am I going to make an income? But no, I'm not an idle woman, and I made it work.
Well, you're not. I'm looking at the dates here in front of me. You're 6th of March, you're in Vicar Street.
Yeah, the big one. I remember I used to go by Vicar Street on a bus when I worked in an internship in town. I was like, I'm going to perform in there one day. It was after I had done like my first 5 minutes because I was actually in an internship at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I ended up leaving then.
What were you nearly going to become?
I did marketing and advertising in college, advertising and marketing communications in Tala,
right.
IT. And yeah,
so
I just...
you would have gone into that world.
Because there's a creative streak in it.
And do you think that any of that stuff helped you then when you were putting together Giz a Laugh and kind of putting your videos out there? Was any of the marketing advertising thing helpful for that?
I think, yeah. Well, when I signed up to what I thought was going to be a massive creativity streak, because I wanted to be a creative director, you know?
Yeah.
Like I have a million ideas, like I've ADHD and riddled. But I ended up bringing it then into my own career. So yeah, I still have to come in here and talk to you, Dave, and
you
do,
sure
the standard stuff.
This
you
is
know?
All the stuff that everyone has to be doing and promoting the things. I know all the movie stars say when they talk about their big paychecks, they say, I do the movie for free and I do the promo for the 5 million quid or whatever.
That's the work, yeah.
So you're working now. That's what you're doing. And you're working now. You're also in Dundalk, Tala, Ballymun, Dunleary, Bray. You've got Australian dates too.
Yeah, I'm going back there. I was in Sydney last year and I'm going back now to do Sydney, Melbourne and Perth.
Stop.
Yeah.
And is there good crowds when you go out there? Is it good crack like?
Oh, yeah. I ended up going out doing a show by accident because I was going over to visit a friend and I just reached out to a promoter. Any chance that I can get a venue while I'm there and hit two boards with the one stone? And yeah, we ended up filling two nights. And
there you go. So now 3 dates or 3 different cities and you're doing that. When is that? April, May?
April and the start of May, yeah. So that's going to be exciting. I've always wanted to go there and I get to do the other cities now as well.
That is brilliant. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Where do people go when they want to find out all of the tour dates?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Giz a Laugh with a Z, and also Ticketmaster will have my Vicar Street tickets as well for the 6th of March.
6th of March, only around the corner. Make sure you don't miss that. It's going to be some hell of a night. Enya Martin acting the divil in Vicar Street on the 6th of March. Enya, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Moore on Today FM.